is no better way to come up after having joined you as one voice in singing praise to God, right? Thanks for coming today. As much as I would love to let Micah take the fall for that announcement, I can't. I am responsible for the information that is announced, and I got that messed up. So here is what we need tonight. It is important that we get this right, because we're talking about food. Okay? Am I right? All right. So whatever the initials were, A through K, correct, are desserts and appetite. No. Did they fix it? It's dessert and appetizer. It's the two small things. That's wrong, isn't it? Oh, that is right. So I did get it right. Whatever. Anyway. Listen, here's the solution. Just bring both. All right? Right? Because everybody wins when we have more than enough food. All right, everybody wins. No, seriously, this is one of my favorite things. I met so many new people. Rachel and I were just talking that I got to know her for the first time 1 year ago at that picnic, and that was a blessing as we were just celebrating 1 year of serving together at Grace. So what an opportunity we have. So I encourage you. If you travel down the boulevard, I live in Wheatfield, and as you travel down the boulevard going north, on the left-hand side, you're going to see a new Delta Sonic car wash is coming in down towards us. And used to be many nurseries, okay? And you'll see that they tore down everything. I believe they started in the late winter, early spring. They tore everything down just to get it leveled. And they began laying the groundwork by clearing the entire property. They bought like three or four houses on the street behind it. They tore down many nurseries. They had like four different buildings. And I mean, it's a huge piece of property. They began excavating it. They began get rid of the old. And what they're doing is they then begin to put in all the drainage, right, so that the property drains and that McDonald's next door doesn't get flooded, you know, if all the land led to them, right? So they began excavating and doing the survey so they knew exactly what buildings were going where and what tanks, the storage tanks were going where. Very important. Very, very, very important that they get this groundwork right. Because the groundwork will determine the success of that business. It's critical before they can lay that first brick. It's critical they get that right. So here at Grace, we believe without any doubt that God has a plan for Grace to have a greater reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We not only come here to celebrate Jesus because of who He is and what He's done for each one of us, and we come with authentic worship, but as an expression of our love and devotion to Jesus Christ, we do this as one voice, but our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus. It's to have a greater reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we exist. And I really firmly believe, guys, that God never intends for His church to be us four and no more. God, His intention for the church since the day of its conception was that it grow. We have been called as His people who have made a commitment to follow Jesus to steward His church, to steward His ministry well. We're in an exciting time in the really rich history of Grace Church. Church, I'm not sure of the exact number of how long we have been here, but it's got to be close to 80, 90 almost years. And God has done amazing things in the past. He has created a lighthouse in this community. A community that has existed for so long is a testament to God's presence here in this ministry and the impact it's had for so many years. But we believe God is going to continue to do that, but that He has something greater for us. We do believe God has something greater for Grace Church. God has something greater for this community by using Grace Church and making more and better followers of Christ. And I want you to know this morning, as we begin talking just for a few weeks, that our leaders are currently working very hard. We always work hard at this, but we're working very hard and working through a vision and a strategy of where we believe God wants this church to go in the days ahead. But before we can begin to even talk about that, before we can even begin to talk about the strategies that we are going to incorporate to accommodate the growth of this ministry and this community that is in this world, we have to lay some groundwork. We have to lay some groundwork that is crucial to the planting of those seeds, and that seed of vision takes root and then it comes to a fruitful fruition. And that's something that we're working very hard at. Vision always starts with God. For the follower of Jesus, vision always, always, always starts with God in the heart of each one of us who are His church. We will talk about superficial, trivial things like facilities and different programs. We'll talk about that as we continue this conversation beyond these 3 weeks. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about right now is making sure that when we get to the point of logistics, that we are all in the place that He wants us to be as an individual that is willing to devote, to obsess over what God wants for this. And so we're going to lay the groundwork by challenging a personal vision. I'm going to challenge every one of us, even if you're new to Grace, or you've been here for 70 years. We want to challenge every one of us to have a personal vision for spiritual growth, believing that it is the contribution of every single person that will make God's vision for this body moving forward be fruitful. And so, yes, it is a personal matter that we will be talking about over the next few messages. So right now I'm going to give you the opportunity, having been given that context, I think it's very important that we take the opportunity to pray right now. And I'm going to ask you just to, you and God, I want you to pray. I'm going to pray out loud and you get the opportunity to listen, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you. But right now, just tell God that you're willing to listen. That's where it begins. But we know it's the desire of God that we not be hearers only, but we be doers of His Word. And so, Lord, I pray for Your wisdom. I pray for Your wisdom that as our leadership continues to hash out what this means to move forward in growth and fruitfulness as a ministry to have a greater reach for Jesus, we need Your wisdom to know what that means right here in this community. Lord, we know it begins with a personal vision, a personal commitment. Lord, we know that if we're not listening to You, then there's no way we're going to walk with You. We're not going to follow You. We know that You want to take us in a certain direction, but unless we are walking with You, Lord, that's irrelevant. So God, as we strive to, as not just leaders, but as a community of people who really want to make a difference, as we strive to work through this, Lord, we need Your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, this morning as we begin this journey together of moving forward, and I pray that, Lord, it will be more than just an exciting time, but it will be powerful because we're seeing people come to know You as Savior, and they're growing in their faith, and they're in turn doing that in somebody else's life, Lord. And that's what we pray for. That our faith and love for You is contagious. So, God, that's going to take a work because every one of us are conflicted. We're busy. Our schedules just frustrate us, where we just don't feel like we have time. Or, Lord, we're tired because it's go, go, go. And then You want us to do something too. And, Lord, these are these tensions and these frustrations that we need to work through. But I pray that our passion for Your vision will be greater than our frustration. And so, Lord, we not only need Your wisdom, we need Your grace. Your grace to do what we struggle to do. And so we thank you that your grace is abundant. And so, Lord, there's a pray that your will be done for this ministry, but Lord, starting with each one of us, your will be done and our desire to grow. And Lord, that all that takes place, both in each life here and in this community, that you will always get the glory and the praise for anything that is done. And so, Lord, we confess this to you this morning, hoping our heart is right before you, receptive to your truth. And we thank you. We love you. Amen. I want you to... We're going to start with a question this morning. And I'm fearful of having you close your eyes so that you can focus and be free of distraction. Because it's very comfortable in here right now. I know. And I just don't want you to doze off. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask a question. And if you're really serious about answering this question, I want you to take a piece of paper out or something and just write this down. I want you to actually answer this question. Where do you see yourself 3 years from now? And where do you see yourself 3 years from now? Now, if you have a vision of where you're going to be 3 years from now, you would have been able to answer that right away. But if you are like most people, your answer is, I really don't know. I really don't know where I'm going to be 3 years from now. In fact, if you are like most people, you are thankful that you got through yesterday. Okay, so you laugh because you agree with me. I am thankful I am just here this morning, let alone think about tomorrow. But 3 years, are you kidding me? Forbes magazine research shows that out of all of today's small business owners that had a vision of where they wanted to be in the future, 76% of them said they were successful because they went where they thought they should go. 76% because of the vision they had of where they wanted to be, 76% were successful because they actually went where they thought they should go. Andy Stanley says this book in his book, Visioneering, he says this, having a vision is having a clear mental picture of what could be. We often think about what could be, right? We're all good at dreaming. Fueled by the conviction that it should be. Okay, now there's the difference. In other words, we all can dream of where we want to be 3 years from now. Oh, but the person that has a conviction of actually being what you should be 3 years from now, that is what it means to have a vision. 1974, Walter Cronkite, the newscast guy, pretty popular in his day, he was sitting next to Mrs. Disney at the opening of Disney World in Orlando. Walt had passed away a few years before the opening of the park, and Walter Cronkite leans over to Mrs. Disney and says this, "Wouldn't it be great if Walt were here to see this today?" To which Mrs. Disney replied, "If Walt had not first seen this, you would not be seeing this today." That was a pretty profound. Vision is not just an idea of what could be, but what should be. And for the follower of Christ who is on mission, it's personal. Guys, listen, this morning, we need to make this personal. And the first question we want to ask is, where am I going in my faith journey of growth? Okay, I ask you a simple question. I mean, it could be, I want to be in management at my job of where you want to be in 3 years. Or, you know, I want to have a new truck. Or, I want to do this, I want to do that. And we can come up with things we would love to do. Now I'm going to ask us to bring it down to something deeply personal for those that walk with Jesus, and maybe for those that don't, this is be something you seriously consider, is where am I going in my walk with Jesus, in my journey of faith, journey of growth? And to refuse to allow the answer, I don't know, refuse that to be your answer. Refuse to say that. So that the lives that we live make a contribution to what God desires. That our lives that we live make a contribution to what God says should be. The Apostle Peter was trying to help the Christ followers in Asia Minor. That's modern Turkey today. And what had happened was that the church came under persecution. It was scattered. And so there were, the church was actually growing at the time, even though it was in persecution. And they were going to different cities and different regions. And so the church was spreading through persecution, which was actually pretty amazing. But the followers of Jesus were, they were desperate for guidance. And so what was happening was is false teachers were exploiting the vulnerability of these followers of Jesus by manipulating the truth in order to achieve their personal event agenda. And so they were at great risk of believing lies and straying from following Jesus unless, Peter says, unless they are so strong in their faith. They need to be strong in their faith. And so this is Peter's message here, and Peter writes to them to challenge their personal growth so that they remain strong and do not fall away from what God says they should be. And so 2 Peter verses chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, follow along as I read. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he is cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. If you practice these qualities, you will never fall. It was very important for this community of believers that they be strong. And in order to be strong in this community, they need to have a growing faith. A growing faith, and accept nothing less than what God said should be for them. So as a follower of Christ, we need to understand that we are products of God's vision. What we see here in this text is that God had a vision. He had a vision of what He wants His people to be. Not just do, but to be. And we are a product of God's vision. God had a vision for us as He decided what we could be and should be. And in Jesus Christ, His vision became a reality. And we all have a responsibility to what should be. And that is to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. One of the most discouraging things in ministry as a pastor is to hear people come up to you and say, I'm not growing, as they try and blame the pastor, or they try and blame their equipping teacher, or they try and blame their ministry leader for a deficiency caused by their own refusal to take responsibility for their growth. See, God has a vision and plan for what you and I should be, and it's our personal responsibility to grow, to become what we should be by trusting all He has given us to grow strong in our faith. It's my responsibility to grow me. It's your responsibility to grow you. As a shepherd, yes, I will protect you from those things that will hurt you. I will guide you towards that growth journey. And we will do all we can to feed you spiritual truth so that you have every opportunity to grow. But it's your decision and your responsibility to grow. And what I love here is in verse 3, God says, I have given you everything you need to grow. Everything you need, God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so encouraging because I am not left by myself. You ever been given something to do and the instructions was not clear on how to do it? You stand there going, what in the world am I doing? And then the best we can do, we're still going to mess it up. That's not the way it is with God. He has given us all, we granted all things that pertain to life and godliness through Jesus Christ. And that growth begins with trusting Christ to give us life and godliness. There is no life and godliness apart from trusting Jesus. See, understand, God's vision for man was to walk with His perfect creation. You know, God created the world. We see this in Genesis 2 and 3. God had created the world, and then He did this unique creation, way beyond angels, way beyond animals, way beyond even the universe. He created this being called humans, where He gives them the ability to actually think and reason and choose, unlike any other part of His community, His creation. And He did this so that He could actually have a relationship with them. A personal, live, growing relationship with them. That is awesome to think about how special His creation of life and the human race is. And He created that relationship perfect. There was no sin. We see in Genesis 2 and 3 that God actually walked with Adam and Eve, having real conversations with them. And then the man messed it up by choosing what he desired rather than what God desired. In other words, man chose to follow what they thought they should be instead of following what God said they should be. And that relationship just fell apart. Because God is righteous and holy, had to distance Himself from that sin. He had to. And that relationship, that personal relationship was broken. And as a result, sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5, 12. Sin entered into the world. And because we are human, we are born into this sin, causing a separation from God. Romans 5:8, but God never lost His vision. Guys, listen, God never took His eyes off the vision He had for us. And because of that, even in our sin, He sent Jesus to us as the solution to that sin problem. And Jesus went to the cross He went to the cross with all of our sin. He took it from us. God poured out His just wrath on that sin that was not His. And He paid the price that we should have paid. And God accepted that payment of death on our behalf. That should change you. Because we didn't deserve it, but that should rock your world. I mean, what kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? That they would be willing to give their life for people who are so messed up? Listen, that's the kind of love we're talking about in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about when God grants everything that we need. That's what we're talking about. And when we place our trust in Christ and His sacrifice for us, listen, the promise of God, just holy God, is this, that when you trust what Jesus did to do what you couldn't do, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will redeem you. And He will reconcile you back to Himself to become what you should be. Isn't that awesome? We can't work for it because there's nothing we can do that's good enough. All we can do is trust Jesus who was good enough. God's vision of what should be became a reality in Jesus. And that is why we sing. That is why we sing about that. That's why, because it's rejoicing in what only Jesus could do. And now we can have life and godliness now. You may be looking 3, 4, 5, 10 years out and you have your plans. And all you want to do, all you want is you try and look out 3, 4, 5 years. All you want is a purpose in life because everything you're trying is not working. No matter how hard you try to bring something meaningful into your life, it's not working. You work your hands to the bone and you end up going nowhere. Unfulfilled. You may help somebody in need. And even in that, it feels good while you're doing it, and you might get a pat on the back. But you still, that's meaningless. Maybe you're just trying to be happy. Maybe you're just trying to be happy. We try and accumulate money, and we accumulate things to try and have more fun, thinking that maybe fun will bring happiness, is when you step back from managing all of that, we're left empty. Or maybe we're spending a lot of time with people because we all crave community. I just want to belong somewhere. And you could be in a room full of people and feel lonely, like you're the only one there because you're trying to find something that you can only find in Jesus. Jesus shares what you're looking for in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Here's what he said. Puts it all in context. Jesus knew this, right? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel, the gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Jesus knew. And could it be that you need Jesus this morning? Could it be that what you have been searching for and longing for is only found in Jesus? Maybe this morning you need to trust God's vision for you. At the end of the service, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Our leaders, and I'm going to even ask their wives to be available. If you want to come and you want to talk about what this means, it would be that there is nothing more enjoyable than to take you to the Scripture and share with you what that means. And we will be right here for you in the service. It'll be private. Okay, there's nothing embarrassing. You can come down here and we will talk with you. We will pray with you. We want you to know. Please do that. Because that could be exactly what you are searching for. So often we have great intentions to grow, but that's as far as we get. 92% of people who set out to see a vision of what should be come true. That what should become true don't follow through. 92% of people who set out with a vision don't follow through on it. Because listen, we must pursue what God desires to be or should be rather than settle for just the idea of what could be. Let's take responsibility for our growth. Let's make changes, not excuses. It's going to take effort, though. As a follower of Jesus Christ, I will make the effort. Guys, listen, it comes down to this. Yes, yes, I want to do that. Yes, I will make. Now let's do it. Let's take responsibility and now let's take action to become what I should be. And we've been given all we need to grow, so we're without excuse there. We can't go before God and say, well, God, I'm just not growing. It doesn't work. We've been given all we need. So we've been given all we need to grow, and now we must make the effort to grow. A person with a vision who makes little or no effort is left with just an idea. Verses 4 and 5, built into the process of becoming what we should be, is the expectation of being diligent. And we see this in verses 4 and 5. It's the expectation of being diligent in doing what is necessary to grow. And it will require every effort we can come up with. I love how it says every effort we can come up with so that we don't fall back into corruption, verse 4. In other words, we make every effort to do this so that we fall back into that godless life. We don't want to go back to meaningless life. We don't want to go back to purposeless life. So if we are not going to fall back into what we were before Jesus, which is not hard to do, we need to make every effort to grow our faith. And it will require every effort. Yes, God gives us all we need in Jesus, His Holy Spirit, and His truth to be able to grow our faith. But God also wants us to support. Get this. I love this because this is really something. This is the how-to, right? This is, okay, what do I have to do? God wants us to support our faith growth or to supply our faith growth with qualities, with virtues. So He says, yes, Jesus has done it. Jesus is the only one can do it. But here's what I need you to do. I need to live with virtue. This is what you need to do. Not to gain God's favor, but to supplement, to supply your faith so that you are in the process of growth. God wants us to make every effort to exhibit these qualities of Christ, knowing that in the effort we make, we will grow to become more like Christ. You want to become like Jesus? Oh, we can. I mean, He was perfect. But we can live with His character. You want to live with the character of Jesus? Because that's part of growing. That's what we're aspiring. God's vision is for us to grow through doing, not being. So how do we do this? Be a good person. Verses 5 through 7. Guys, listen. Be a good person. Warren Wiersbe said, I love this. Being a good person isn't just polishing human qualities, but producing Christ-like qualities. Be a good person because who Jesus is in you. And people will see that. Know God's Word. Supplement your faith by knowing God's Word. To know, because listen, this is important, okay? Because we might want to just be tempted to do the easy thing, and that is just like read through the Bible in a year, and yeah, I know God's Word because I read through the Bible in a year. But you don't remember one single thing you read. Other than, yes, I did it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying to supplement your faith so that you are in the process of growth. To know God's Word is to read God's Word more than accumulating knowledge, but to read God's Word with the understanding that it's about life transformation. That's what that actually carries the meaning. That you read God's Word with a purpose for life transformation. Next thing is control yourself. I want to be a good person, but there's a lot of things going to stop me from being a good person. So you know what? Control yourself and don't let that happen. Well, I want to read God's Word. There's a lot of things that will take us away from knowing God's Word. Control yourself and make sure that it happens. Control yourself. Don't let anything other than Jesus lord over us. Self-control. Don't let anything lord over us other than our pursuit of Jesus. Never give up. It's going to be easy to give up in this process of growth. We're going to want to do the easy thing. Stay steady and faithful in what it's going to take to grow. Live to please God. Live to please God. That is ultimately our motivation in this life if we're going to live a life of meaning. To live a life that honors, respects, and reflects God's desire for us. And that is to be like Jesus. Be kind to people. That's interesting because the last two are similar, but they're actually very different. Just be kind to people. Yes, it's because you're a good person. That's one thing. But to be kind to others, an expression of that goodness of Jesus in us, to genuinely care for the needs of others as hands and feet of Jesus. And then that last thing is love other people. This carries with the idea that as I walk in my life and I encounter people all in my life, my desire is that their good is more important than my good. Just love people so that what they need is more important than what I want. There are some heavy implications of that, isn't there? And in verse 8, if we make every effort to live this way, if we take responsibility for our growth and we own it, we are going to become like Jesus every single day. Because if you haven't noticed, all of those qualities are in the person of Jesus Christ. And here's what it says. If we are faithful in this, we will be effective and fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring to reality this vision of what we should be. God will bring that reality to every single one of us if we are faithful and diligent in the growth process of being more like Jesus. And it says, we will. It will be effective and we will be fruitful. And if we shirk our responsibility and do little or nothing, it says that in verse 8, we will remain idle and barren. If we are going to grow, we cannot be tomorrow what we were today. Some small way, somehow, we cannot. We have to grow. We cannot be tomorrow what we were today. Otherwise, we are idle and our life becomes barren. When you make every effort in prioritizing a time alone with Jesus, where we just don't read, but we read for understanding and a desire to change. If God is doing nothing here, He's going to do nothing here. We need to prioritize our time alone with God in conversation and believing by faith that God will do far more than we could ever ask of Him, purely from a relationship with Him that is right, pure. We need to make the effort to live with the character of Jesus rather than living it by accident. We need to have a vision of growth. We need to live in community with others who want the same thing, and that's where we're going to gain support. That's where we're going to gain encouragement, and that's where we're going to gain accountability. No, we may not like accountability, but if we want to grow, it will be necessary for someone to come next to us, kind of smack us on the back of the head and say, knock it off, or you'll never grow. You'll be idle and barren. And that's special if you've got someone in your life that'll do that to you. And that's what this community is. If we want to grow into what we should be, it will take effort and it will take focus. But there's one more thing that it's going to take. It'll take focus. As a follower of Christ, I will focus on Christ. And it's easy to lose our focus. That happens all the time. We set out to do something. It happens all the time as I'm getting older. I will come out of the office and I walk out there and I stand there and I stare at Nancy and I went. And she's looking at me like, what? Like, well, I came out here for something and I don't remember what it was. So I go back in my office and then I come back out thinking it'll trigger something so I remember. I do it all the time, right? It's easy to forget the things that we set out to do in life. Guys, it's easy. Listen, if we're going to grow in our faith in Christ, Christ needs to be the object of our affection. He needs to be He needs to be what we obsess over. Let's bring this down to level. Husbands, no comments, please. No nudging, no nothing. I'm just going to use this because we can relate to this. You promise, guys? What would happen to your marriage if your wife loved shopping more than you? No nudging. Wives, what would your marriage be like if your husband loved his car more than you? It'd be a mess. It'd be a mess. In fact, statistics show that marriages are a mess because our spouse is not the object of our affection. In fact, I'd venture to say the men would actually end up sleeping in their car. Okay? So that's kind of an indication that you need to get things straightened out in your marriage. Okay? So if this goes true in our human relationships, why do we think that it's any different in our walk with Jesus? That if He is not the obsession, He is not the focus, He is not the object of our affection, why do we think we're just going to continue to grow? He needs to be the object of our affection. I hope we grasp this. Because as followers of Christ, to love anything more than Jesus, the one who loved us so much that He gave His life for us, verse 9, it means that if we love anyone more than Jesus, we are nearsighted and then we will become blinded to what He has redeemed us to be. We will be blinded. What that simply means by being nearsighted is that we are so fixated on what's in front of us in the moment. The urgent becomes our obsession rather than the important. And all of a sudden, everything is so near. It's right in front of me. Well, I can't spend time with Jesus this morning because I have to go and do that. What's in front of us, we're nearsighted, and then we miss out on the vision God has for us for growth. Can you imagine the managers of Delta Sonic going down to that site right now where it's just this gravel and dirt, barren field, and going, well, this stinks. This is nothing but dirt. What are we going to do with dirt? Forget it. We're done. This is stupid. And walk away. You want to know why there's going to be a building on that property? Because they have a vision. And if you look at the front of that property, there is a picture of that vision. And it's right there in front. Because they want the community to have the same vision. We cannot settle for just the barren gravel, dirt field of our spiritual attempts. We cannot settle for that. We need to have a vision of growth, knowing that we are going to become what we should be through Jesus Christ. The vision of what should be is the object of our focus, our effort because of Jesus. So what's in the way of your growing this morning? What's in your way? Is your focus out of whack? You lazy? Are you giving God scraps because you're so busy pursuing other visions in your life? I mean, what is in the way of your spiritual growth this morning? Is it unforgiveness? Maybe you have refused to forgive someone and that has become a cancer in you. Maybe God has done something that you consider to be unfair and you've lost vision. You've become blind and you haven't even forgiven God. Maybe you're bitter, selfish, prideful. Maybe you are too busy. Maybe it's time to start saying no. Maybe we just need help. And we're not doing what it takes to get the help we need to get connected. Only you knew. Only you know what's in the way. Only I know what's in the way of my life. But being blind will not solve it. It will not solve it. A growing follower of Jesus is one who sees God's vision of what should be for their life and strives to do whatever it takes for it to become a reality. As a growing follower of Christ, we are a product of God's vision. We will make the effort. We will focus on Jesus. And I am convinced, as I close my eyes, I think of what God can do through this faith community. I see it, guys. I see what God can do with a group of people who are obsessed with Jesus. And it gets me excited to think of the impact we can have on this world that we are around, the reach we can have as a faith community. It's time to get serious. Because idle and barren people only make idle and barren churches. Again, I invite you, if you need to pray over something to get right, or you need to just come to Jesus, we will be here for you. There will be people here to pray with you, and I want to make sure you know that if this is something you feel a tug in your heart, that is God pulling you, you need to do what God is pulling you to. So I encourage you to do that. Listen, vision starts with me. Vision starts with you. Let's allow God to bring to reality the vision He has of what we should be. So God, I thank You. We realize before we even talk about logistics, I mean, that might be a year out before we talk about an actual concrete plan. God, we have some work to do in the groundwork. We know this. We confess this to You, and this groundwork is going to take some time to straighten out. But we thank You for the blueprint of Your Word, that we have everything we need to become growing followers of Jesus. And when that takes place, God, You will do amazing things in seeing Your vision of what should be come to a reality. And for that, we trust You. We need You. We do not want to do this without You. We will not do this without You. And we will give You all the glory for what You're doing and going to do. I pray that everyone sitting here will join us in this, to have a greater reach for Jesus. I pray these things in our living Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. Amen.